Conquest. Yes, please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran with our dear and beloved brother Habib. Assalamu alaikum, brother Habib. Thank you very much for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
So we've arrived on verse 64 of chapter 19, chapter Mary of the Quran. Let's listen to a couple of verses and we will be back for today's discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Gabriel said, "And we angels descend not except by the order of your Lord. To him belongs that before us and that behind us and what is in between. And never is your Lord forgetful." Lord of the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them, so worship him and have patience for his worship. Do you know of any similarity to him? And the disbeliever says, "When I have died, am I going to be brought forth alive?" Does man not remember that we created him before, while he was nothing?
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. Just listen to verses 64 onwards from chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter 19, chapter Mary. So the first verse reads, "We do not descend except by the command of your Lord. To him belongs whatever is before us and whatever is behind us and whatever is in between that. And your Lord is not forgetful." Let's begin by asking this question. What is the reason of revelation for this verse?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Of course, the reason of revelation is because, as you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was in connection with Jibreel. And Jibreel was getting the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And he was sending it to whom? To the disbelievers at that time. And, of course, these verses are some of the verses that are stated are Mekki, and they are not Madani, because of this fact. Because the question came up that, why, O Rasulullah, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop sending his revelations to you? What's up? we are visiting you more than Jibreel is visiting you with revelations. Other interpreters state that no, this was actually at Medina, and there was no one rebuking or criticizing the Prophet, but the Prophet himself was asking that, why is Jibreel taking so long to come to me? I miss Jibreel. I miss the revelations.
Was he, did he miss the revelations, or was he worried that has he done something that makes him not receive the revelation?
Hasha Rasulullah. There's that eagerness from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see why, and why is Jibreel not coming? He's missing him. He wants to see him. He wants to hear the revelations and whatnot. And of course, there's also the hypocrites at that time. There's always enemies for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Mecca, it was the mushrikeen. In Medina, it was the Ahlul Kitab, and it was also the hypocrites. So that's the reason of revelation.
Okay, let's take a break before I ask you how God is trying to console the Prophet with this verse.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 64 of chapter 19 of the Quran. And verse 64, so it basically was delivered at a time when there was a period when the Prophet had not received any divine revelations. And God is saying, we do not descend except by the command of your Lord. To Him belongs whatever is before us and whatever is behind us and whatever is in between that. And your Lord is not forgetful. So God, I'm assuming, is consoling the Prophet, or is He responding to the hypocrites?
Two birds with one stone, actually. And it's stating that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi is our, you know, servant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi is a messenger. He does not control anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to control. He is under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi is underneath the order of Allah. And when Allah sends the revelation, He sends the revelation. He doesn't send the revelation, He didn't send the revelation. And it's none of their business, actually, to, you know, just state why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop sending the revelation. And of course, that's for the hypocrites. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, it's that we have a command, we have orders, and we have to follow these orders. That's the angels talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi.
Could it also be a consolation to Muslims who might have worried that maybe the Prophet has been forsaken?
The Prophet and his believers, his followers, like, I believe in this, actually. I verily believe in this. That Amir al-Mu'mineen is like our father. And anything that hurts him, hurts us. Anything that hurts us, hurts him. Anything that we do bad, really shames him, actually. Thus, that fear of this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you stated might be for the followers of the Prophet. That, you know, that ishtiaq, that eagerness, that missing out on, is also available in the hearts of the believers, like it's also available in the hearts of the Prophet.
And then God goes on to describe His power on the next verse, where He says, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them. Mm. So worship Him and be steadfast in His worship. Do you know anyone who could be His namesake? Now, instead of namesake, we might be able
Samiyya. His name, because the name of Allah, what is the meaning of name of the name of Allah, or the names that we contribute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to?
His attributes,
actually. When we state, for example, I'm stating this on behalf of Shaykh al-Saduq, actually, and I'll talk more about this. For example, when we state Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowledgeable, is al-alim, What the Sheikh al-Saduq states that the meaning of al-alim is something, yeah, existing, but what is the reality of this? It means that it has no, we can't reach the reality of it. So what do we say? That we understand the meaning of al-alim is actually the all-knowledgeable, right? Keeping this introduction in mind, when we come to these attributes, these names, who in this existence, in this universe, has such things? Who is al-alim like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim? Who is Allah, like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah? The meaning of Allah, of course, is either the one that is worshipped or the one that is unknown. That really, the details can be understood. أَلِهَا الْخَلْقُ عَنْ مَعْرِفَتِهِ.
And also at the time, it was also a time when, as you said, the hypocrites were bugging the Prophet about why you're not receiving revelation. Could this be in response to them that God doesn't need to send revelation when they demand it? He is the superior.
If we accept that reason of revelation and that this is a Mekki verse, then yes.
In the next verse, God says, man says, shall I, when I have died, be brought forth alive? Does man not remember that we created him before when he was nothing? So after demonstrating his own power, now he's showing humankind their own weakness.
This verse actually, helps out the fact that the past verse is actually Mekki as well. Why? Because people that usually had doubt about resurrection were actually in Mecca mostly. Right. Anyway, here they have this question that I died. I'm finished. I'm extinct. I've become nothing now. How can Allah return me? I've turned into dust. Can He return these flesh and bones? How is it possible? So they deny resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states an answer to this, that I created you from nothing. Creating from nothing is much harder than creating from something. Thus, it's much easier for us, if you want to, you know, with your own calculations, it's much easier to create nothing, to create something from something than it is to create something from nothing.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back for the rest of the discussion.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are on verse 67. Does not man remember that we created him before when he was nothing? So, as you pointed out, God first demonstrated his own power and then proved the weakness of the human being, reminding him that he was created from nothing, and so God could create him again. Some people will say that human beings, when they're born, chemically speaking, they are actually recycled from previous beings that used to exist. So human beings are not created from nothing. They're created from substances that exist and are continually recycled through the generations. On the Day of Judgment, if there's only one substance available, how does God revive human beings, maintaining the uniqueness of every human being?
See, first of all, we have to go back to the beginning of creation. There's a saying that I always bring up whenever I talk at the beginning of creation. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam states that if people, humans, understood the beginning of creation and how everything happened, no one would differ. Everyone would, be like, all right, this is the truth. Everything is easy. But unfortunately, we weren't there. Still weren't even the carrot. So here we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created things from nothing. Even if it's these first materials, these substances, we have in the saying that Adam was created from four different kinds of
soil.
Where did the soil come from? Some of them state it came from the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. It was created from light. Others state it was created from water, because the first thing that Allah created was water. Anyway, the details are not that important. But the thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there. There was nothing else.
And He created
No time, no place, no nothing. Pure
nothing.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought in these first materials. He created Adam from the four different types of soil. And then we continue to, you could say,
Regenerate. So God can generate all of these substances from nothing like He did it the first time. And then,
as long as it's, you can imagine it,
then He can definitely accomplish it. Yeah. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. In today's program, we were on verses 64 onwards of chapter 19, chapter Mary, which was about the period when there was no revelation to the Prophet, where God demonstrated His power and that it is His will and not the prophet's or anyone else's will when revelation will be delivered. He demonstrated His power. He proved the weakness of human being to show that He is the only one who makes the final decisions. To show that He is the only one who makes the decisions. Thank you very much, Brother Habib, for that program. That's all the time that we have. If you missed it, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio, Quran Quest. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food. Amongst the thousands of shops in Tehran's Grand Bazaar lies a tiny tea house with a long history that attracts visitors with its famous treats. Haj Ali Darvish Tea House is the smallest and oldest tea house in the Iranian capital. The 2-meter-wide cafe belongs to 63-year-old Kazim Maputian, who took over the century-old business from his father. He serves a wide range of teas, but his signature is the tea of kindness, a mixture of mint, lemon, and saffron. His tea house is the most famous in Tehran, serving some 200 customers every day. It used to be a tourist attraction before the coronavirus pandemic. Haj Ali Darvish Tea House was enlisted as Iran's intangible cultural heritage in 2016. Farmers working on the border between Venezuela and Colombia have discovered a tusk that is believed to belong to an American mastodon from 16,000 years ago.
We went to the place and the fossil was there, and then we realized it was something very important. We rescued it because there was a risk of it being lost, and at this moment, it's in the Archaeological and Paleontological Museum of Agualinda.
The experts say the discovery would help them with complementing information about extinct animals and ancient settlements. They say the finding of the tusk in the site would increase its potential contribution to scientific researchers. The discovery of mega faunal fossils in South America has been common over the past decades. In 2019, more than 800 mammoth bones were discovered near Mexico. Agreed. group of Cambodian students has designed a manned drone in an attempt to beat traffic. The drone has 8 propellers and a school chair for the pilot's seat. It can carry a human weighing up to 60 kilograms. The creative students say the drone is still in its early stages of development and testing. Equipped with 4 batteries, the human carrier drone can fly up to 4 meters and around 10 minutes above the ground.
Here we have big problems related to traffic jams, so we did some research about this before building the drone. We came up with this drone project as we had the idea that we wanted to solve some problems for our society by making a drone taxi, as well as investing drones for firefighters to help put out fires.
The prototype has cost around $20,000 to build. The designers say they need 2 more years to complete the project. The school has expressed hope that the drone could be used in everyday life.
Iran's capital, Tehran, has hosted an art show themed with Aspiration for Peace. Organized by the Economic Cooperation Organization, the event seeks to shed light on the beauty of a global peace through the language of art. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Each one of these delicate works of art are created by an artist from a different country, each trying a unique way to highlight the need for lasting peace in the world. Dubbed Aspiration for Peace, the art gallery is organized by Echo Cultural Institute with the aim of promoting global peace through the language of art.
By holding this event, we want to send a message of peace to all countries. We invited diplomats from all embassies here to gather and unite and celebrate a peaceful gathering. Also, the artworks showcased here are created by artists from various countries, and this represents how beautiful it is for nations to live peacefully.
Art helps connect different civilizations and nations. It helps us bridge the cultural gaps and find commonalities. This will establish mutual understanding and harmony among nations, and therefore conflicts can be avoided.
In some of the artworks, images immediately communicate with the audience, even if faces are veiled. These pictures try to narrate the story of Afghan women and an uncertain future that they're facing amid the Taliban's takeover of power in Afghanistan.
The events that are taking place in my country, Afghanistan, are so painful. It might take hours to tell you how hard it is for an Afghan girl to live in insecurity and uncertainty. But through the language of art, you can understand all these words without the need for translation.
The art show was held on the occasion of the International Day of Peace, observed every year on September 21st. The occasion was introduced by the UN General Assembly as a chance to strengthen the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire.
A picture is worth 1,000 words, and indeed, no words can be as strong as the strokes of an artist in speaking the beauty of peace. And this is how the universal language of art transcends the political and cultural boundaries and touches the hearts of viewers, no matter what language they speak. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
French slackliner has wowed watching crowds in Paris by crossing from the Eiffel Tower to the other side of the River Seine. Nathan Poulain walked across a rope suspended 17 meters above the ground. He finished the 600-meter course in half an hour. On one point, he sat and lay on the rope before arriving at his destination, the Chaillot Theater. The 27-year-old daredevil practiced 4 years to perform this show. Poulain said that he was staying focused during the walk, and that was very challenging.
When I was young, I had fear of heights, and I learned to contain it. During the performance, I really didn't feel it. I really didn't have that problem. I felt some stress over starting it, but no vertigo, no.
Poulain said that it was an uneasy experience, but he was happy to share it with the public. The athlete started slacklining 10 years ago. In 2019, he performed a 510-meter-long walk between 2 skyscrapers in Paris.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
SpaceX's first all-private crew have successfully concluded the first orbital mission in history with no professional astronauts on board. The four tourists on board the SpaceX Dragon capsule landed in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida after spending 3 days in space. The capsule was then transported by helicopter to the Kennedy Space Center, where on Wednesday they took off aboard. During the flight, the crew members' vital signs were monitored to study the effects of the environment of space on complete novices. The Inspiration4 mission was an effort aimed at encouraging the democratization of space. It sought to prove that the cosmos are accessible to crew that have not been handpicked nor been in training for years. Visitors and keepers of a zoo in the Peruvian capital, Lima, are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs. In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about Humboldt penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 Humboldt penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The Humboldt penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
A passionate Indian teacher has turned a road into a classroom and houses walls into blackboards to make up for the prolonged school shutdown caused by COVID-19. Deep Narayan Nayak is working with nearly 60 students in a small tribal village in the eastern state of West Bengal. He started to teach students, most of whom are first-generation learners, last year, when all local schools closed under lockdown restrictions. Nayak says that he was worried about his students' education since many of them did not have access to smartphones or internet connection. But thanks to his initiative, his students can learn everything from popular nursery rhymes to the importance of masks.
We are teaching children everything, how to maintain social distancing, how to wear a mask, what is the importance of masks and hand washing. The children came forward and participated in this initiative, and they are also educating others.
The parents and villagers are grateful to Nayak, saying that they are happy their children are no longer wasting their time loitering around in the village. Nayak is now popularly known as the teacher of the street among the villagers. Water scarcity is a significant and accelerating problem for people worldwide. A UK-based charity, WaterAid, has installed life-size ice sculptures in London to show the fragility of water and the threat posed by climate change.
Climate change is water change, so it means that droughts will get longer, which means that previous reliable sources of water just won't be there. It means that flooding sometimes in the same country, becomes very severe, polluting water sources and destroying infrastructure. But it also means unpredictability. Water sources that people have relied on for generations, for farming as well as for their health and hygiene, are just no longer there.
Far, a policy analyst for WaterAid, said people with no access to clean water are bearing the brunt of climate change. The sculptures opposite Tower Bridge are part of the charity's fight, which calls on the British government to increase funding for climate adaptation. The sculptures show how clean water is essential for human survival, with some being depicted carrying buckets and pots in search of water. The environmental group wanted to highlight the threat climate change poses to our planet.
Egyptian archaeologists have completed the renovation of a tomb of an ancient king, providing a rare glimpse into the world's oldest known pyramid. The 4,700-year-old Step Pyramid was built during the reign of King Djoser. The southern tomb is the second for the king, and is smaller compared to royal tombs. Some researchers suggest it was built for the preservation of Djoser's internal organs, while others say it was built symbolically. It had been undergoing renovation for 15 years before being reopened to the public.
120 tons of blocks were raised by Egyptian hands, astonishingly and with the determination to achieve one goal. That is the reconstruction of the tomb, just as it was 4,700 years ago.
The complex is historically significant, as it is the earliest known example of the Egyptian custom of pharaohs being buried in pyramid-shaped tombs. According to experts, ancient Egyptians believed that this step design served as a gigantic stairway of the soul of the deceased pharaoh that could ascend to the heavens. Now, we've all grown up playing with a pinball machine at least once in our lifetime. Now, a free runner has designed a giant scaled-up pinball machine, turning it into his personal playground. Latvian free runner Paša Petkuns came up with the idea of playing on real-life pinball machines during a road trip. The set, made in London, is not for the faint-hearted, as it is slanted at a 45-degree angle. Paša thought his breakdancing experience might help, but in the end, he had to invent a whole new style of movement. The producer of the film, showing the performance on the machine, described the set as very scary.
It's 17 meters high, it's 16 meters wide, and 20 meters long. It's an angle of 45 degrees, and I don't know if you understand how much 45 degrees is. It's like, it's a double black diamond slope. It's something you don't go down, you can't, because it's more like falling than anything else.
It does sound scary. Now, the impressive set, designed to look like a retro pinball machine you might find in arcades, took 7 weeks to construct. Global landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and the Statue of Liberty are featured in it. Petkuns works as a Hollywood stunt double.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 of As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, verse number 1.
The Imam Salamullah alayhi asks Allah to help him. He seeks refuge in Allah from the eruption of greed. We spoke about the causes of eruption, what causes a person to get to that stage to begin with. And now we made it to the word greed itself. And I'm going to use simple terminology to describe greed and talk about greed here. So I don't want to be too technical. A greed means a strong desire for something, that you desire something so much that you just want it, or if you have it, you don't want to give it. That's just pretty much what greed is. So a person in such a state, he's literally called a greedy person. He loves his wealth so much, and he has this desire, strong desire for it, that he would never want to give it. He becomes a greedy. In Islam, though, Islamically speaking, the word greed is used in both ways, in desirable matters and undesirable matters. But mostly, we use them in matters that are condemned. It's like it's used in condemned situations. So we hardly use it in a good way, because it gives that notion that something is wrong. So it's good for me, for example, to be greedy when it comes to my religion, for example, that I don't want to give it up. It's good for me to be greedy that I want to seek knowledge so much. It's good for me to be greedy in a lot of things that I need to have. But we don't say that, right? We don't usually say, oh, I want to be greedy in knowledge. But we use it for other things which have that bad notations to them. And from here, Islam came and kind of mainly emphasized on the fact that when a person being greedy, he's a bad person. So the Imam Salamullah alayhi says, oh Allah, please help me. I seek refuge in you from being in that stage or that state of a greed. Let us take a short break and then inshallah we continue.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created mankind, he created them clean, plain slate, nothing. We kind of put ourselves in this position where we lead ourselves to this hirs, to this greed. So we ask the question, what leads a person to be greedy? Right, so obviously considering the fact that we took, we looked at the causes of sins themselves, but greed itself as a disease, what causes it as much direct cause? One is the upbringing that a person grows up with. Home, his environment, his where he lives in. The hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every newborn is born clean slate on the innate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him. وَإِنَّمَا أَبَوَاهُ يَهَوُدَانَهَا وَيَنَصَرَانَهَا. But it's his parents that make a Christian or a Jew out of him, right? And so this fitrah, when it's given to a person as a father, for example, when Allah gives him that child, he molds it in the way that he wants. If the father is greedy, the chances are very high the son or the daughter will be greedy too. We're not saying it's always, but the chances are very high, because this is what he opens his eyes to. This is what he sees. He sees just greed, so it's natural for him to be greedy too. Let us take a short break and then inshallah we will continue.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at the first verse of supplication number 8 of Al-Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam. So we're looking at the word greed. The Imam seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the eruption of a greed, when greed goes to the extreme. Another cause or another reason for people to be in such a greedy state, when a person, for example, gets a doubt in his mind about something, especially when it is an Islamic concept, when he gets this kind of doubt in his mind and he doesn't get a satisfying answer to his doubts, it puts him in a state where he doesn't want to interact with religion anymore. He doesn't want to interact with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants more. He doesn't want to interact with Islamic belief anymore. And then greed becomes normal to him. He's like, I'm not doing anything wrong. It's my money. Why should I share? I worked hard for it. And Allah gives us the classical story of Qarun. And Qarun, mind you, was related to Musa alayhi salam, right? And he was a poor man. When he asked for wealth and Allah gave him wealth, he says, this is mine. And when Musa asked him to pay his taxes to Allah, he says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I attained all this wealth because of my own knowledge. His greed led him to that because he had that doubt in his mind that, you know, it's mine. I'm not doing anything wrong. Why should I give it to you? So it led to him being in this dangerous state, which led to his kufr, which led to him being perished, and the earth sinks in him and swallows him alive with his wealth. So that's why the Imam says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from greed. Inshallah, we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
As Ulum Sharifi Islami.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by famous Iranian Shiite orator and lecturer Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
این وجود مقدس رو ما اینجوری میشناسیمش. ماها که شیعه هستیم.
We as the Shia Muslims believe that Imam al-Mahdi, the last Shia Imam, was born and has been alive during all these years. Imam al-Mahdi's sovereignty is not only limited to political powers. This is why we must not consider his benefits for this world only in the political arenas. In other words, Imam al-Mahdi is the source of all types of benefits for the world.
اونا میگن موعود موجود نیست الان. موعوده فقط وعده داده شده که خواهد آمد.
As you might also know, all the religions and denominations believe that the last savior of the world is not born, and in fact, he is the promised one who will appear at a proper time in the future. This is the main difference between them and the Shia Muslims. One main reason for this difference of understanding is that the last savior for all the religions except Shia Islam is the person who will appear in the future and will fill the earth with justice. For them, Imam of the age is the man of justice. Therefore, if there is no kingdom or leadership for him, there would be no reason for him to be born. Thus, they limit the presence of the promised savior to his political and justice-seeking power. On the contrary, the Shia Islam believes that seeking the justice is only one aspect of the life of the promised last savior by the name of Imam al-Mahdi. As the Shias believe, Imam al-Mahdi, the promised one, is the living source of blessings for all the people around the world during all ages. He is the main proof of Allah on earth, and if he does not exist, then there will be no benefit for the earth, because he is the main source of blessings who is directly linked to the Lord of the worlds. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanallah.
Ministry.
The official fear of America's wrath made the Lebanese state prefer to strangle people than welcome Iranian support that could ease some of the suffering. Nevertheless, Hezbollah took over the task, establishing equations that could no longer be overlooked, either locally or regionally. Convoys of tankers loaded with Iranian diesel continued to make their way to the city of Baalbek and its surroundings, traversing a distance of more than 230 kilometers to store its cargo in tank depots prepared by the Amana Stations Company as a first step before distributing it to the targeted institutions from the Iranian cargo ship that had docked last week in the Syrian port of Banias. The first batch of convoys consisted of 80 tankers divided into four groups, traveling successively with an interval of about an hour between the convoy and the other to reduce congestion and to ensure safety on public roads. Each group included 20 tanks, meaning that the total tonnage that reached Baalbek the first day was 4 million liters, and the full load of the ship will arrive in the region in the upcoming days. Although Hezbollah leadership in the Biqa announced the cancellation of all the celebrations and receptions that had completed its preparations, in compliance with a statement issued by the Secretary General of the party, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, prior to the arrival of the first convoy, people still flocked to the public roads, spraying the convoy with flowers in celebrations for this new victory. The roads were also decorated with banners of thanks to the Islamic Republic of Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah. Banners, Lebanese flags, pictures of Sayyid Nasrallah, and Hezbollah slogans were raised along the main roads and squares that the convoys traveled through. In front of the convoys, flags of the United States of America and Israel on the ground to trample it with their tires in show of defiance to the American unilateral coercive measures to ensure siege against Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah. The siege has been broken. Caesar's act has been bypassed, and the peoples of the region have made their choice once and for all. Self-determination is a right, and we shall practice that right in broad daylight. Welcome to the Middle East Stream. I'm Marwa Osman. Lebanese resistance Hezbollah trucked more than a million gallons of Iranian diesel fuel into Lebanon from Syria on Thursday, celebrating the move as a way of spiting the United States while bringing much-needed aid to a country nearly paralyzed by fuel shortages. With Lebanon suffering one of the worst economic collapses in modern history, Hezbollah managed to come out as a national savior, stepping in where the Lebanese government and its Western backers had failed. The fuel delivery, which Hezbollah said was the first installment of more than 13 million gallons, underscored the severity of Lebanon's crisis, as well as the government's failure to address it. To discuss this issue with us in Beirut is Dr. Yahya Ghaddar, Secretary General of the Global Gathering in Support of the Choice of Resistance. Thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Ghaddar. Now, Hezbollah trucked last week more than 1 million gallons of Iranian diesel into Lebanon, flouting U.S. sanctions and coming out as a savior to a suffering population. Now, for weeks, the U.S. assets and, if you will, puppets in Lebanon, they were criticizing this move, saying it was mere propaganda and will never happen, and now it did, just before their own eyes. Will the U.S. afford this sort of defeat in a small country like Lebanon?
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. The defeat of the United States in Lebanon became a reality and exposed its absolute importance, as all its local tools are weak and no longer have any elements of strength after it spent billions of dollars on NGOs and groups that did nothing to benefit the U.S. As per this new condition, after it was behind the failure of forming any government, as it was responsible for Hariri's first resignation after the popular uprising of 2019, it was not of interest for the U.S. to see any government formation in Lebanon. So when the life-saving Iranian fuel ship was confirmed by Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, the balance of power shifted, which prompted the U.S. to move fast and steal the show by allowing the government formation, which means that even this government formation was done against the will of the Americans. However, the U.S. will try to maneuver using new ways, but it will be defeated again, as it was defeated before. The balance of power has fundamentally changed. This small country defeated the U.S. militarily when it expelled the Marines and the NATO in 1984, and defeated it when the Israelis were expelled under fire and without negotiations, and also defeated it by importing Iranian oil, hopefully with new victories to come.
Well, Dr. Radar, USA Senate Foreign Relations Committee member Jim Risch said that, and I quote here, he said, Lebanon's receipt of U.S.-sanctioned Iranian fuel trucked in by Hezbollah through Syria is a disappointing sign for the future of Lebanon's accountability and democracy, and that U.S. sanctions must mean something, end quote. What does he mean by accountability, and why are we suddenly a disappointment of a democracy when we decided to seek the help of our regional friends and our regional allies to try and rid the country from the crisis of fuel?
The U.S. always says anything without thinking. Importing Iranian oil has nothing to do with democracy. Our democracy has produced a parliamentary majority and institutions in Lebanon, and it is the one that makes decisions without blatant American interference. American way of speech is a blatant interference in Lebanese internal affairs. This fully expresses the failure of America's plans to blackmail the institutions and to impose its own agenda on the Lebanese government. When it failed utterly in achieving its goals, the U.S. began throwing accusations left and right. This is a complete collapse of the American hegemony and its assets in Lebanon.
Well, Dr. Radar, nearly every step of the fuel's journey was a challenge to the United States of America, which has imposed sanctions on the purchase of Iranian oil and on the Syrian government and on Hezbollah. Now, also on Hezbollah-linked companies, especially like the one that is distributing the fuel inside of Lebanon. Are we to expect some sort of a breaking of new monopolies by the same resistance or the axis of resistance in the fields maybe of, let's say, pharmaceuticals or maybe other monopolies? Because, for example, drugs are nowhere to be found right now in Lebanon, so might actually the resistance step up and stop the hoardings and maybe halt the work of the cartels?
It was obvious that when the resistance and Sayyid Nasrallah took the decision to import Iranian fuel, they only did so when there was no other option left after the government had failed to perform its role. And when the deep state represented by the oligarchy, the monopolists, cartels, and banks presented only chaos and was responsible for blocking any real solutions in Lebanon, the resistance decided to break all sieges, including pharmaceutical and food products, and it will also break all the hoarding done by cartels and deep state lobbyists. I believe the new resistance plan has been launched at the moment the first Iranian fuel ship left the docks in Iran. No one will be able to stop this plan unless the new cabinet is ready to put forth real solutions, which is yet to be seen.
Well, anti-resistance camp in Lebanon is claiming that stepping in where the state has failed was a political coup for Hezbollah. Do you actually agree with that? And do you think that's really what happened in Lebanon? Was it a coup in Lebanon?
It is truly surreal that this anti-resistance camp in Lebanon has not yet realized that what this resistance says it actually does. This is the same resistance that liberated South Lebanon in the year 2000 and claimed victory in the 2006 war, and later on claimed victory over terrorism and Takfiri groups, which was miraculous for many. And yet this anti-resistance camp thinks that this resistance is ready to be defeated. And yet this anti-resistance camp thinks that this resistance is ready to be defeated, is ready to be killed and starved. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah has said it multiple times that come what may, the resistance will always stand beside any Lebanese government, and we will keep giving our hand out to help it. Unless the day comes when any said cabinet demands the disarmament of the Lebanese resistance, demands our starvation,